I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Oh, net positive, baby. Back. Nobody's back to work yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. If they are, it's probably today.
But know who's back to work?
Who?
We are.
Yup.
Oh, we never stopped working.
We never left.
No highlight episodes. All holiday, right?
Straight through.
New every time.
Powering through.
And we're getting back to work on the road, baby, this January. The 18th, 19th, and 20th. We're coming in Charleston, Columbia, and Wilmington, North Carolina. I think those might be close to sold out. 27th and 26th of January, we're coming to Nashville, Tennessee. Three shows close to full. February, we're going to be in Greenville, Knoxville, Huntsville, Amarillo, Wichita Falls, Lubbock, Munhall, Pennsylvania, Zanesville, Ohio, Cleveland, March, Mobile, New Orleans, Houston, Detroit, Fort Wayne, Peoria, Buffalo, Toronto, Erie, Durham, North Carolina, Macon, Georgia, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, or April, Rochester, St. Paul, Duluth, San Jose, California, Santa Rosa, Reading, Dayton, and Lexington, Kentucky, baby.
Everywhere.
Oh, so I feel fresh.
You are everywhere. I feel fresh.
You know what? And people got what's it called when you do something new for the new year?
Resolutions.
Really, yeah. Resolutions. And one of them, you know what it should be?
See John Christ on the road.
And number two?
Get closer with Christ.
Yeah, number three, get your money in order.
Get your money in order.
Rocket money. I like your priorities, though. Yeah, you should say rocket. Yeah, you should say.
I was trying to stay on brand.
Get your money right and then get closer with Christ.
Right.
Do exactly what Alex is saying. And then third.
Immediately third.
Rocket money.
Yes.
Do you ever feel like money is just flying out of your account?
Yes.
Well, the holidays are over.
Right.
You signed up for a lot of stuff. You gave a bunch of lot. Now it's time to. We got to get control.
Let's tighten that up.
Rocket money, baby. You have no idea where all your money's going. Well. It's all those subscriptions.
Yeah, it is. It always is.
Yeah. Think about it. Between the streaming service, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, the apps your exes are still a part of that they're using for you. Mm-hmm. I threw that in there just for a bonus. You need Rocket Money, baby. An app that tracks all your expenses so you know exactly where your money's going at all times. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Yeah, me with Facetune. Mm. Just kidding. I don't use Facetune. That would be wild. Dude.
It's a great poll, though.
Does Facetune cost money?
Yeah, the premium features
the
do.
The girls do. Mm-hmm. We like make their teeth whiter and stuff.
If you want to look real good, it's premium.
I do be seeing them, those photos.
Yeah.
We know that doesn't look. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, I know that filter. That's Kiss 2.
Yeah.
Stop
we know
it.
You've been tuned
get
up.
Get out of here.
Bro. Yeah. subscribe to you probably never canceled. That's why we love Rocket Money. Imagine a woman, the freedom. She goes, you know what? I'm canceling Facetune. Mm. I'm going to be who I am.
Liberated.
Oh, yeah. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, including Compassion Children. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. They don't. Well, they do, but they say you're doing that.
They'll find it.
But yeah, they'll find
it. And then it's up to you what you do
say,
with that info.
I'm keeping that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goes under Get Closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Monitor your spending and helps with your bills. Rocket Money, over 5 million users. It's helped save its members an average of $720 a year. My girlfriend uses it.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of money. That is, what's that, an Xbox?
It's over 500 million in canceled subscriptions.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of Xboxes.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/net positive. That's rocketmoney.com/net positive. Or hit the link in the episode description below.
Yep.
Hot episode.
Great episode.
This is how we start in the new year.
Yeah, kicking it off right.
Oh, yeah. Our buddy Dave Barnes is in the house.
Yes, he is.
And you didn't know who Dave was.
Did not.
That's awesome, dude. Dave's a good buddy of mine, music artist here in town.
Yep.
Been touring for a long time. Wrote some unbelievable music.
Yeah.
When you hear this guy's lineup, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Dave has over 100 songs recorded by other artists such as Florida Georgia Line.
Yep.
Who we are big fans of. Tim McGraw.
Yep.
Which is my era of country. Reba McEntire, Dan and Shay, Carrie Underwood, Need to Breathe, Billy Currington. Thank God for good directions. You think I can do a song from all of them? Baby, you a song.
Okay.
I got a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
You guys have one?
Nope.
Reba McEntire.
What's the theme to her TV show? I'd probably be more.
That's a better.
Gosh.
It's a tough one.
There's the one about the girl that they're selling the daughter to be a stripper or something like that.
That's a Reba song?
Love. What's that song? Maybe it's not a Reba song. Reba. Look up Reba.
Just Googling Reba songs.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
I'm a survivor. Yes, that's the one. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's embarrassing for me. I live in Nashville. Dan and Shay. When I taste tequila, Carrie Underwood. Jesus, take the wheel. Need to breathe. Brother, let me be your shelter. Bill and Currington. Thank God for good directions.
Nice, dude. Well done.
Nailed it. And Turnip Greens. Of those songs, he's landed two number ones. God Gave Me You.
Yeah.
Written by the man that's going to be walking into the studio.
Banger of a song.
God gave me you for the ups and downs. Now you hear that song, the listeners can be like, dude, we know who wrote this.
Yeah, we know the guy.
We know the guy that wrote this. And Craving You, Thomas Rhett and Maren Morris. And two with You, Dan and Shay. And 13 with Like a Lady by Lady Antebellum, that's what I call him. That's unnecessary. Why? I call him L Antebellum.
You shortened the wrong word.
L Antebellum. I'm gonna start doing that around town.
That's terrible.
L Antebellum.
Oh, L Antebellum. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big L Antebellum fan.
Yeah, I like their older stuff.
L Antebellum is crazy, dude. He's gonna be like, dude, you got to cut that part out.
Yeah.
His past collaborations include artist Lindsey Sterling to Ben Rector.
Yep.
Oh, another one of our buddies. Dave has a new album called Feather Brained Wealth Motel.
FWM.
Let's go. And he's out on tour. He's touring all across this beautiful country in 2024.
How'd you feel about the convo we had?
I liked it, dude. We're buddies.
Yeah.
We text. He dabbles in comedy.
He's very funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Yeah. What was he doing when he walked in?
I didn't see. He was around the corner.
You didn't see him?
No, working. I couldn't see him. Oh, I didn't see him.
He started working.
He literally walked in the door and just started like
backing working. It up. Yeah. We're like, here we are.
Perfect.
Let's do it on a Tuesday. We shared jokes and his kids are like my buddies. I see Dave around all the time.
Nice.
And we're always like cracking up about stuff that I've seen of his or he's seen of mine. So we got into that and creativity and hilarious conversation.
Yeah. Like, and then we got into some serious stuff on the back end too about like identity and ego. Dude. And that's like, I like when pods go that way.
I feel like if there's like over under for me at about 35 minutes.
Okay.
That we can like shoot the breeze mm-hmm. and then it's going to, I feel like that's all the time.
You flip it over into
I don't necessarily, I tried to.
No.
But I go, all right. And then that's such a, it's such an unbelievable conversation, like about 40, 45 minutes in about your ego and your worth tied to mm-hmm. stuff on the internet. Beautiful. Enjoy Dave Barnes, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all have the hardest gig in the world, if you ask me. I'm not kidding.
Well, comedians want to be musicians and musicians want to be comedians. Yeah.
But it's, I mean.
I'll talk about, I've been a couple of your shows.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
You said that.
That was like, I've seen what you do.
Yeah.
I know what you're all about.
I've seen yeah. stuff. It's all right.
Oh, yeah. It's all right. Okay. Dave Barnes in the studio, baby. Studio.
Yo.
We out here.
Out here.
We like, this is the beginning of 2024 episode.
Yeah. Okay.
And I like to start it off finally, as I've always wanted, four white men.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I prefer.
Yeah.
It's nice to finally have it.
The original Boys to Men.
Boys to Men. I was too young for that. We were talking about, we went to Hank Williams. You know Hank Williams?
Oh, yeah.
Hank Williams Jr. has a bar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a new bar.
Okay.
We went in there a couple nights ago, and we walked in, everybody's older. There was an older crowd in there. And I go, this Hank Williams Jr. was before my time.
Yeah.
And then I'm 39. So we also said Morgan Wallen, Lainey Wilson, Hardy, Zach Bryan are not too old for I like the music,
yeah,
but that's
yeah.
And we were talking about who was my graduating class. Like who was my when you were in high school, what country music was big? Did you listen to country or no?
Yeah, a little bit. More yeah. like it was in the air. It wasn't so much on purpose. But that's 90s, man. I'm like I'm 45, yeah. So this is 96.
So who would you say?
That's to me, like, that's like, that's when it was like popping off. That was like Garth and.
Yep. No, I said, because you're 45, I said I was too young for Garth. Mm-hmm. It was like Garth was like Michael Jordan. I was.
Yeah.
I saw not the end of it.
Yeah.
But that was like, and we said for me, it was like Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Toby Keith.
Toby Keith was a little before me, but still
Rascal
big.
Rascal Flatts.
Rascal Flatts was huge.
Yeah. Chesney's been around for 500 years.
Shania and the Dixie Chicks.
Shania. Nice. Yeah.
And a lot of the other ones that came like right after that. I mean, maybe Alan Jackson.
Yeah.
But his Chattahoochee had just kind of he was still making hits.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, I loved my era of basketball is like Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Karl Malone. Like LeBron came after me.
Yeah.
LeBron Steph is not my mm-hmm. era.
Right.
Weird. Yeah.
Mine was a sweet spot because mine was MJ.
Sports.
Like, yeah. Like that was like, well, I mean, basketball, especially because that was like the dream team. That was like right.
And Bird.
Me. Oh, yeah.
And Jordan and Bird.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of Magic, like kind of the end of Magic.
Did you see that thing on Twitter yesterday about what's his name about the all black versus all white mm-hmm. NFL team?
No.
He goes, let's make the Pro Bowl. All black versus white, yeah.
Which I think those are Rashad Mendenhall. I think.
Yeah, I think some people have done some things to try to not make society like that. What's that called when there's like one race and another race?
Yeah.
And they don't. What's that called again? Racism.
Oh, that was going to say racism. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is what.
Segregation.
Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. No, but he said. But then everybody's like having a take on it. Did you see Will Compton's?
Yeah, I can't believe it's being debated so openly. It's wild.
Oh, this is going to be in 3 weeks. This is probably going to be.
Yeah, this is a little dated.
But it is funny.
What's the, like, is there a hot take on it? Like, what's the.
Well, he goes for, we're going to have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. We're going to have great tight ends. We're going to have great quarterbacks. Our offensive line's going to be great. And he said, where we're going to fall apart is the defensive secondary.
Yeah. And wide receivers.
Well, he said we had, who do we have in wide receiver?
Adam Thielen.
And Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp. Like the two.
I mean, yeah. It's a funny idea. Because they're like, I don't know. I never thought about it. But back in the, I mean, who would, if it's a basketball all time.
Yeah.
Who are you going to have? Steve Nash?
Yeah.
Dirk?
Bird, obviously.
Bird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was disrespectful. My bad.
Luka.
Luca.
And if you're going like OG.
This is actually better than I thought we were going to do. Yeah, great pick.
Pistol Pete's going to be.
No, but we're going to maybe round out a top five.
Yeah.
And possibly a sixth man. And we're not going farther than that.
Let me tell you about our coaching, though.
It's not
our coaching. Our coaching bench is so deep. It's like guys and their kids.
Front office.
It's like front office. The coaches and the coaches' kids are all like, they're all in play.
Why do we have so many coaches? A lot of coaches.
That's all we got.
Player to player coaches. We got like.
Well, the funny thing, I guess, about the whole thing is like, it's that like racism is like, this race is preferable to this. Like this is not, everybody would be on board with that argument.
That's why it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, yeah.
Jason Kidd.
We fall apart. Yeah, let's see.
You know who I think as a white guy had maybe the best handles of all time? Played for the King.
Jason Williams.
Bro, guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was the bridge. Like he
the
was the guy,
what?
The missing link.
He was the missing link.
The bridge between
like,
white and black.
He was the hope for white guys that like thought maybe I can ball. Oh, like he was the guy that you'd look at and be like, okay, like he's.
Yeah, because statistically, John Stockton was better, but he wasn't cool. Yeah.
No, man.
Nah, like, yeah, he wasn't cool.
He was like the first like white like and one guy that you were like, oh, you can.
He's like the professor.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Which those man, you wouldn't see me get lost on a Facebook like forever as you any and one mixtape stuff pops up in my feed.
Yeah. Man, that was the best. They had a MC on the court with a mic.
Hot sizzle.
I mean, but still like that guy is the wizard, professor.
The professor.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is the white guy?
That was the professor.
The professor.
Yeah.
Like, we're friends with the professor.
You know
we're buddies with the professor.
He will still pop up.
No, he will on mine too.
At random basketball courts in like Brooklyn or something.
Oh, yeah. He's a legend.
And just, I mean, school.
Cook. Didn't you? How fun is that?
Let
you
him
do that
cook.
For the rest of his life.
Unbelievable.
That's like, that would be similar to like, Kenny Chesney just like popping up at Tootsie's. And you're like, yeah. Dude, come through. Like, oh, no. Guitar Center's better. Guitar Center's better. He's like, dude, can I grab that one off there? The Guitar Center guy. The Guitar Center guy that plays in there. Is he the best or the worst? He's the worst.
Yeah.
He is?
I don't know.
The Guitar Center guy?
Yeah, you do. You do know.
I mean, that is the guitar.
I like how all the things we discussed and you're like, that's where I
this
can't.
Is the
you're
one.
Like, hey. Who's the best white versus black? You're like, hey, this is...
He's very like, outspoken on the racial basketball game, but we pull back here.
I have a question. What is the, I don't want to crush dreams, man. Like, that's like,
oh, that's fair. That's
I don't
fair.
Want to be sure. That guy.
He's thinking about other people.
What is the version of Guitar Center for comedy? Like the waiter at like Zany's.
No, because those people don't want to do comedy.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
Sometimes, but not really. That if you wanted to do comedy, that's more of like an LA, New York thing. Go work the door at the club.
Yeah, okay.
Not in Nashville. There's some of them that do, but I would say doing comedy, like I try to not tell anyone what I do ever.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Yeah.
I go, hey, what in an Uber, what did you do? Unemployed. The golf course. Like, I play golf on the road a bunch and they just put me with people. I go, I'm just out here.
Yeah,
visiting. What do you do? I don't know. In between, I just try to not, because the instant we cross that bridge,
it's over.
I'm that guy now.
Yeah.
So but the idea that the guy that's just starting wants to tell everybody, he's a comic, he would probably do like trying to do jokes to the bartender, or like to like.
Like material.
Like, is this a bit?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Never, dude. Oh, that's a nightmare. That's like a younger comic would like do like a bit on you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, are you like running this?
Our version.
You're like
that
workshopping
like
this?
Like the whole cadence titles. Changes.
Song that's titles. What we get is artists or somebody like throws writers. Because you know, like, you meet somebody somewhere and you're like, well, you know, I like music. They're like, oh, cool. Like,
I got one for
this
you.
Idea oh, for yeah. a song. And you're like, all right. Or it's the, which you probably get too. It's like, oh dude, there was a guy that went to high school with me who like drum teched for Van Halen in 87.
Oh yeah.
Do you know his name? Yeah. And you're like, hey, I don't know if I've met him.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm like, say it again. White guy? Yeah.
By the way, I say yes to everything. Do you know him? Yep.
Yeah.
I know everybody.
You just go, yeah.
Sure. Oh yeah. I think I know him.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. No, you're not gonna say no. Oh, are you from Arkansas? Oh yeah. Do you know him? I think so.
Just keep the story going.
I say yes to everybody. I do. I say yes to every person that anyone ever asked me to meet. I go, I know him.
You just live improv your whole life. Yes, and. Keep build it.
It's so sad to say no.
Yeah. That sounds like a great book.
Sad to say no.
That's your business. That's your angle. That's a corner of business.
Sad to say no. Sad to hear no.
Sad to say no. My life is an improv artist.
If you go down, if you say somebody's from Nashville, do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy. Totally. What's his name again? I think I know him.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just shut that. No.
Is it like, do you find...
you probably do know him.
Do you find being here... Have you watched the comedy world grow, like, right before your eyes?
100%. Like, 1,000%.
That is crazy.
1,000%. We put it... I was going
to
say we put it on the map. I didn't put it on the map.
No, but
I'm
I mean...
a part of it.
You are definitely
I'm a part of it. Nate put it on the map.
Isn't that crazy?
Nate Bargatze is... I wouldn't even call it a run. I was like, having the run of a lifetime, but just that unbelievable run.
Yeah.
Incredible. Just an incredible, like, I don't know, dynasty, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And I've always said, like, the rising tide lifts all the boats.
Yeah.
If you go see him, like it, you go, oh, comedy's fun.
Yeah.
Who else is around?
Like that was happening. I do feel like you're a substantial part of it. I feel like. That was happening before Nate, though, a little bit. It was like, it felt like that things were kind of brewing.
Yeah. What, Lord, this is like kind of, there's like, I say there's like, I'm like on the top list of like the touring comedians.
Right.
And it's like an honor to be on there. Unfortunately, there's three people above me and that are all my neighbors.
That is hysterical.
Yeah.
So who are they?
Nate, Theo, and Leanne Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
She lives in Knoxville,
Love
very, Leanne. Like...
love her.
That you go, and these... Yeah, just so you're like,
Oh, man.
Isn't that funny? Like, you think about the South.
Yeah.
I wonder what, like, have you thought about that? Like, do you think that's a thing?
I thought about it all the time, brother. What's the thing? The
like, that there's, it's not a fluke that so many Southern comedians are so big.
Well, okay. The biggest comics of all time are Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy.
So what is
of all
that?
Time. Because, dude, you go, like, we're going to finish the emotional support tour this spring. It's the last run of it, the last leg of it. 157 cities.
Holy cow.
That we can tour in. But if you're a coastal comedian, you can tour in 10.
Yeah.
15 cities.
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
So it's connected to where you can actually play.
Where you can sell tickets.
That is
crazy. It'd be like, dude, Garden City, Kansas, if we sell 1,500 tickets, I go, dude, you don't understand how many tickets that is there.
Oh, and in general.
And by the way, I go to New York or LA, I can't sell four tickets, but not real. Four, dude. But it go out amongst the people.
Because it's just so populated. It's like such a known entity.
Yeah, it's just like that's where the media is, and that's where they're like, where's Kevin Hart? We saw him last night. Or I don't know. Where? I don't know. Whose accent is that?
It's a bouncer.
Where's Kevin Hart?
That's a bouncer. Yeah. Who's trying to be a comedian. That's
who are you? Where's Kevin Hart? I was like, dude, send me to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And they'll carry me out into the streets.
Yeah, yeah. John.
Tell us more about how we don't believe in the vaccine.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Don't go to him. Don't click to him on that. He doesn't want to be a part of that.
So do you find that like with...
That's funny that this... I thought this was my podcast, but go ahead.
No, but I'm curious. I'm really curious about this.
Nah, I'm just joking.
Do you find that like... Are you seeing where you're meeting more and more comics that are moving here?
Well, it's kind of like gotten a reputation of like clean comedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because Nate's clean. Jeff Allen's clean.
Yeah.
Henry Leanne's Cho's clean. Leanne's clean. Dusty Slay, Aaron Weber. Yep. The whole list
that
of
is
a bunch
so
of clean comics. And so you can go, I need comics in front of me that are for the most part clean.
Yeah.
It's easier for me. So this is kind of the place where if you're coming up in New York or LA, they were like, what? Where here is be more like, they'd be like, what? If you were clean,
yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Here it's more of, there's more of a market for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You can do it elsewhere. I came up in Denver, Nate came up in New York City.
Yeah.
But it's just like, once you kind of, I describe it as like you walk in on a moving sidewalk and then they turn it on.
Mm.
And now you're not only are you walking, the industry is.
Which I think the funny thing is, clean is so hard. It is so much harder than being dirty.
Yeah, like the joke I told you right before we went on there.
Which like, killed.
Yeah,
killed.
That's never going to work.
But you know what I mean? It's like, it's so much harder.
Yeah, it's harder.
Yeah.
Well, the first part, if you ever do it, like you tell jokes at your show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the people already know you're. If you had a dirty joke, it would be like, what?
Oh, man.
It would be confusing. Be,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't, it's not. If you're clean, when you start, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, wait, what? But nobody wants to be known as a clean comedian.
Oh, then that's like a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. That's like the worst.
That's like the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah. He's like, he does good corporate comedy. He's like,
okay.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Nate is super clean.
Squeaky clean. Yeah.
But he's not known as a clean comic.
No, he's just known as a comedian. That's what everybody comedian. Yeah.
Do you think that's about like the spirit of it? You think it's like his.
Well, nobody wants to be known as anything comedian.
He just wanted to be
comedian. Jewish comedian, black comedian, white comedian, gay comedian, Christian
comedian.
Because then it's
already like.
You don't want to be known as anything.
Yeah.
Now, people will put you into a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's funny. Like a lot of Christians have done that to you and you're not even Christian. That's why that's funny.
That's what this podcast kidding. Is for. Is right. I'm coming out.
It's an intervention. I'm as a Christian out. Or not as a Christian. Which one?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Now, you don't think you want to be known. You want to be known as like. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to do, you
do your thing.
Do it. And then, but people are always going to put you into like a, like some, I was on the, was it, I saw Nate on the list of like top 10 like conservative comedians. And he was like, what? He's like, why am I on this?
Yeah.
Cause you're like, I don't know.
It's just easier to call him that.
Yeah. It's, but everybody wants to put everybody into a, yeah, something.
I got a question, John.
Oh, in fire comedy, off, baby. Here
it,
we go.
Is it like known? That being a clean comic is harder? Like, is that acknowledged amongst everybody?
Wow, good question. Well, let's see. There's probably a combination of one, people, I think it's more commercial. So people might say you're just doing it for money.
Huh.
because it's easier to
the book stuff.
You're more brand friendly.
Yeah. Oh,
at the beginning, because like you like do. You did like IBM's like, or you did like the car dealership's like Christmas party for like $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that at the beginning if you're clean.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if you're like doing, but everybody, my annoyance with clean comedy is like, dude, you could be the dirtiest comedian ever. And then if Jimmy Fallon called, it's like, dude, we'd love to have you on Fallon. You just can't do that one bit. You'd go, sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody would, it would.
Suddenly clean.
Yeah.
Everybody would suddenly clean it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like when the, yeah, everybody's like, there's nobody that's like not on this spectrum somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Or that's too far. Or yeah.
I think, I just think it is, I really do. I feel strongly about this. It is so much harder to stay clean and keep it between the lines than to either cuss or to just be dirty. Cause it's just like, I feel like it's the lowest comment.
Well, it's easier.
It's so much easier.
And that's a start. At the start, it's cause you want to get a, you want to get a reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just say something wild and everybody's like,
oh yeah.
Oh, oh like, yeah. I mean, I was at the open mic night last night. Somebody did it for the first time. I watched them and I was like having PTSD.
Oh man.
I was having PTSD.
Cause they were just going for all the easiest.
No, they were just, they were, you could tell him about the, he was going to pee in his pants.
Oh,
I could.
So nervous.
You can't. Like I got in a car wreck one time when I was 16 and the police officer came up and he was like, can I have your license? I couldn't get it. Cause I was so.
Yeah.
Disoriented, but I wasn't hurt. I was just like, he's like, can I have your drive? And I was like, where is it? Where, what are these jeans? Like, I didn't know my like motor skills didn't work.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Cause I was a kid. Cause I was so like, there's a police officer here. There's an ambulance. This is all. And that's like what it is. You're like, just say these words.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what words are.
So when I did, done music for forever. And my manager was like, I want you to do a stand-up show. This is like probably 12, 13 years.
Yeah, I was at it.
You were at that show?
No, not at the stand-up show.
God, please tell me you weren't.
I was at the, jeez. I was at the, I saw you at Work Play, I think, in.
Oh, yeah.
In Birmingham.
A billion years ago.
Yeah.
But.
You're like, thanks for the support in the last 10 years, John. Sorry.
Welcome to the life of an artist. But it was so funny because he was like, you know, I want you to do this thing. We booked it. I'd played.
Terrified.
A million shows before.
Yeah. And you're good on stage.
Guitar.
Yeah.
My manager came back and literally she was like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was white and terrified.
Yeah.
Which terrified. Is also the name of my album.
Yeah.
hard
to say no.
It's hard to say. But I mean, it is terrifying. And I think the thing that people don't understand, even for people who are on stage, be it musicians or whatever, the thing that is so harrowing about stand-up comedy is there's no, I tell people all the time, it's like, Sting can get a guitar and go on stage, right?
Yeah.
Go to an open mic.
Yeah.
Play a song. Be like the worst
he's like
song.
Subtly comparing himself to Sting. Nice. So Sting. He's like, so me and like Sting.
I always wondered if after he dies, his headstone's going to say stung. I digress.
Is that your opener?
That's my opener. That's elite.
Dude, that's awesome.
Stung. But you know, any artist that you know can get up and play a terrible song. Nobody's heard.
Yeah.
It's redemptive because his voice is cool. His guitar is cool. And it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch that Seinfeld documentary and you guys know this intimately, but you can get up and be like a well-established comic yourself and you bomb and there's nothing redemptive.
No.
People don't go, hey, but at least it was John. They're like, man, that was a bummer.
And it's no comic that I know is like cocky.
Yeah.
Cause we need y'all.
Yeah. That's bad. I've never
like,
thought about that.
You're like LeBron. I was like LeBron or like Steph and like the layup lines. Like, ha, like they're going to dominate. Even if they have a bad game, it's not going to be the worst game.
Yeah.
And then it can't, by nature, without breaking your leg, can't go bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a worse night than the other night,
but
it can't not. I mean, dude, you could watch. I could pull up some clips for you. We don't have to, but like of comics, like established comics, bombing. And it's usually when you go, there's a JB Smooth video that's unbelievable that he goes to like somebody else's show. So Theo is like, dude, come open for me. So when I go to my crowd, when I have tickets sold from that with my name on them, that's like LeBron.
Yeah.
Not, I'm not comparing myself to LeBron, but that's like, oh, this can't go bad.
These
are my people. They already know. Yeah.
They want you to win.
Yeah. If Theo goes, hey, come do 10 minutes before me. These people do not know. They might know me, but less likely. Or like I did a staff Christmas party and it was horrific. Dude.
Oh, no.
Yes. But by nature, it should be bad.
Wait, it's like.
The comedy is
not your people.
Comedy is so like free speech and countercultural. And that's the most stuffy. Like these people need to their boss to approve of their outfits. And it should, if it goes well, you should be concerned for your career.
Yeah.
As a corporate.
That is interesting.
Because it's saying things out loud.
Yeah.
That you shouldn't say.
Yeah.
What planet is this going to work?
I did a 45-minute stand-up set for a corporate thing a couple years ago. And I was like, the life is being sucked out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, who hasn't done a lot of that. And it was like a buddy was like, hey, and I was like, I got it. I have a tight 45.
Yeah.
And I got up there and it was literally, I genuinely thought I'm gonna look up and nobody's gonna be in here. That's how bad it was.
Well, we like, unfortunately, I'm trying to think fortunately or unfortunately, if it's like the Zanies crowd the other night was like hot, it was like hot crowd. I was like, I don't care about these people. Like I'm going to,
cause it's not fair.
I go, I want to see if I can mess with them a little bit. Like I could do the hits but I was like, that's no fun. What's like, I want to see if a crazy idea works. Cause otherwise it's no fun. It's not fun. You're like, dude, do something wild up there. And like one time I did a set all in Spanish.
No.
Yes, I did.
You can speak Spanish?
Not really.
No.
Yes, I did. I did it all in Spanish. And then one time I had Comedy Works South in Denver. It was an open mic night. It was open mic night. I was doing like 3 minutes, but I made it some jokes. Hola, me llamo. And I was like, everybody was like, I mean, it was horrible.
Oh, my
It gosh. Wasn't funny.
How many Spanish speakers are even in the audience?
But I was
Denver.
Doing like, I was like, hola. And I was like, El quarterback de Denver Broncos. And I was like, I did Peyton Manning joke about his forehead or something like that.
Gosh.
And it was like,
yeah,
everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And one time I had I brought a Sharpie and a whiteboard and I like charted the jokes.
Oh, I love that so much.
That's like, I brought up an easel and a board and I was like, all right, these are new jokes. I'm just going to chart them like based on your laughs. Yeah, and I like, just do like, and then I went,
I love that.
But that's like a funny.
Yeah.
It kind of worked.
Yeah.
But,
Those are the people, like, I think about Dimitri Martin.
I would never do that again. Yes.
But, I'm like, those guys.
Love them.
Those guys and girls, to me, who are out there doing that stuff, I'm like, those are the people.
Those are the real ones.
Yes, they're the real ones.
They made their own trail.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't even know what. They're like, you can't do that. And you go, what? Yeah, then I was like, one time, I mean, I was doing this joke about, like, parents, about, like, bringing their kids aside. And then I was like, I got my other comedian buddy to cut up a bunch of orange slices, like, you know, like parents pass out after like a soccer game.
Oh my gosh.
And I like was walking around the crowd, like
giving them.
Everybody was like, no, dude,
stop.
Don't do
except for like two people who were like, this is the best moment of my
probably.
Life.
They're like, I was at that show where you did the orange. Yeah. I mean, there's no way.
That, well, you know, like you read about, is it Steve Martin and what's the dude that was so crazy that Jim Carrey did the movie about Man on the Moon? What was his name?
Andy
Kaufman. But like you hear about Steve Martin and these guys where they would have, did you ever read the story? I think he had a tour bus pull up and after the, like during the show, he's like, all right, everybody, there's a bus outside. They got on the bus and they went and all got ice cream together, like the whole show. And you're like, I'm like, that's,
I was at a Dave Chappelle show that I hosted. Dave Chappelle was the headliner. And then he led everybody out of the club to a strip club.
No.
Yes, he did. No.
Dang.
I was like very legend. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You want to talk about some dark days in your artist careers when you're doing radio visits and the guy's like, hey, we're gonna go get some food. And you're like, cool, we're out. And they're like, oh, you know, Laggies or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, that sounds like probably a place I don't wanna maybe get chicken wings.
It would be my best dream of my entire life if somehow, some way, somebody worked at a place called Leggy's and was listening to this podcast and just
so, mad.
So encouraged about everything else. I was trying to get their guitar career off the ground, playing at Guitar Center, and they go, I really like Dave. I'm really, he's given me a lot of inspiration to my career. Yeah. I'm just about to quit his Leggy's job.
Yeah.
And heard this.
And was like,
and
you're dead to me, Dave.
It all came undone.
You are living a life of lies.
But what's the point? Like, if you're, what's the point? Do you like, what's the point of like doing, I see some artists, I guess they're like, dude, like, we already have this album from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we already did this. Mm-hmm. What, who's this for? Why do we have this? Like, what are you, like, same with the podcast. I mean, this is kind of stupid sometimes, the podcast, but you're like, dude, guys like you are like, dude, at least they got something to say. They got something to contribute to the greater, to the world or the cause. Or, I mean, it's a lot of stuff we just do is just silly.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, why wouldn't you put track, you have 12 tracks, put track 13 and do like play a kazoo or like, not a kazoo, but like a take a chance.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, who cares about it? As an art, as a creative person? What are the boundaries? Like, what's that guy's name that smashed watermelons?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gallagher.
Gallagher.
He smashed watermelons for his closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all, he was
gangbusters.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Just went nuts. And you say, dude, you can't smash watermelons. He goes, you can. And I'm gonna.
And watch me.
And I'm gonna close my show. And I'm gonna sell arenas. And they have to put tarps over the first seven rows. And he would like go to the grocery store and pick out
watermelons. Can you imagine that rider?
Unbelievable.
You're like, oh, we got your chocolate milk and your Luther's cough drop. And then seven watermelons?
What? And you want to.
Uncut.
You want a club?
And massive.
Yeah. A wooden club? What for? I don't even know what the. Do you know what the bit was?
Literally that. Like, I've seen it a couple times, not live, but like, he just sort of does comedy. Sort of, and then just, but like smashes a bunch of stuff. It's not just watermelons. Yeah. Like, he'll be like, apple, know, Kong. Everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. And then he's like, all right, grapes.
Smashes a bunch of things.
Yeah, and they just graduate into bigger and bigger things.
Well, that's weird about creativity, because you go, somebody's like doing something, and as you go, I mean, you see it on TikTok or whatever, like, that's insane. That's a mental illness. And then they're on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
So you go, who am I to say, or you to say, crush anyone's dreams. I mean, you have already on this podcast, but other than that,
working at Leggy's.
Yeah, you say, hey, I'm gonna pull. I mean, Leanne is having the biggest year of her life, and she's at her age is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
And she's been doing it since she was 20. So you can't say quit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You tell anybody to quit?
No, because like I had, I mean,
I got a list of CCM artists, and you just say, should they quit or
not? Oh, my God. Oh, what if
that was stick or quit. Let's play the game. Spin the wheel.
Some people say that about me. Yeah.
But or I mean, I don't know. I wonder if you ever had this, but like I had a friend of mine, not a good friend, but a friend of mine tell me like early days, like you shouldn't do this. And it was like, oh, that hurts. And if, you know,
you shouldn't
stuff,
do it. You shouldn't do it.
Like he heard me singing and he was like, I think you're a good writer, but you shouldn't sing.
Dang.
And I was like, okay. And so, you know, I think for me, that was like a
moment. You're like, I'm married to her 20 years.
Yeah,
later.
She's, and you know, I need that fire. I need that sort of, you can't do it-ness. She's my Michael Jordan, you know, basketball, middle school guy.
But I mean, you got to be like realistic about, I don't know. We always see a bunch of these Nashville, especially with the country artists. And I'm like, dude, I say in my head, there's no way.
Yeah.
But I go to Whiskey Jam or whatever, and I go to, it's, I mean, it's less of a long road with now with social media, but you're like, gosh, it's such a long road to where you want to go.
You know,
it's such a long road.
You know, the thing too, and this is where I actually was thinking about this morning, because I was thinking about your career versus like a music career. The thing that I do think is great about comedy, and you can tell me, I may not be right, but there's not really a shelf life. Like, as long as you're funny, you're relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can be unrelevant for a while.
And I would say makes your career so hard, which I think it's almost impossible, is our careers, we were laughing about this before, but they're almost diametrically opposed in that I'm really just playing the same things, and that's why people really want to be there. They're like, give me the thing that makes me feel nostalgic. Yeah. You can't do that. Like, literally, if you go do.
I was going to have a bit about the vaccine. They're like, dude, who's still doing that?
Yeah. But the great thing about that, so the good side of that for y'all is you're always new. You're always novel. Because
the world's always new.
Yeah, because you're reinventing your set.
If you do. Right. I mean, some guys are like, I heard somebody's bit the other day. I was like, oh, that's like, just by the nature of it, I was like, I had walked out of this bar and I was like trying to get a taxi. I go, oh, you've been telling this bit for a long time. Or like something that dates it. Something they go, wait, what?
Or like 90s bit.
Hold on, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good and bad, I guess, because you have to no one wants to do an old bit, or no one would, because the element of surprise is what comedy is.
But I think what's so hard about, you know, to your point about new artists is like when because people want to go pick my brain or whatever every now and then. And I think what's so hard about music is it's actually, believe it or not, I think it's a lot like professional athletes. Now, not in our physique or fitness, but, similar. You know, novelty's king, right? Like, so the reason that bands are usually big is because they're new. And the longer you're around, the less popular you
We've
tend
seen
to
them
be.
Before.
And so I think what's hard about what we do, and what I really grieve for young artists is they're like, man, I want to do this. I'm like, look, do what you got to do, but you really need to love this because there's going to be a day.
You can almost feel it.
Your fourth, fifth record, the drop off is usually immense because people are like, hey, we got it. It's cool. But now we got enough from you.
We have you.
Yeah.
We got you.
We don't need
new
stuff.
Yeah.
And what's hard as a creative is you're like, well, all I want to do is do new stuff. And they're like, yeah, but that's not the stuff.
I went to, at the Ryman, I went to Switchfoot.
Yeah.
And dude, I cried.
Oh, they're amazing.
I cried at it was the 20 years of the Beautiful Letdown.
Yeah.
And that it was packed. Yeah. And everybody wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
I never thought about that because they were like, but you got to get back on the chart or whatever. Unless people follow your fans know your new stuff. But like, how are you going to? Yeah. You look at Metallica, like I want to hear the
Well, music is so tied to nostalgia, and if there's anything we want, the older we get, it's to relive old things that were great.
The feeling, man, dude. Those my college when I was listening to the Beautiful Letdown.
Oh,
in that red box Volvo.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you remember all that stuff.
Oh gosh, this Bethany Knox was a girl that I went to.
BK.
Okay. I start to cry. it was two tickets at the Wright Center at Sanford. And she invited me. And dude, I mean, I guess I was want to feel that.
Yeah.
I want to feel that when I come to and I did.
Yeah.
Gosh, I was like 24. Like I was so sad.
That song.
When I was like,
how good is that?
But I was
song?
Like, I had no troubles.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, dude.
And I mean, again, life just gets harder the older it gets, so you want to feel that way.
Life
and I think what's hard is
what
like,
I thought, oh, like, dude, you're on the way to geography, bro.
Oh, yeah. Chill. Like, chill it out. But right. I think that's what's tough about it. And I think to your point about young artists, I'm like, man, it's not that I would change anything if I had to go back and start over because I love it too much, but I'm like, it's a weird career because if you really do enjoy creating, it's not really set up for you to always create. It's set up for you to perform.
Oh yeah.
But at some point the masses kind of come to you and go like, hey, we're good.
Yeah.
Now just play all those for the rest of your life.
Versus like if there was like Taylor Swift, whatever, people come, I want to hear what John has to say about Taylor Swift or like whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
This guy is like-minded like me. I want to hear what he has to say about the thing that's going on. So
well, and laughter isn't nostalgic. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to make people feel what music can feel. But what you can do that's crazy is laughter is so
help.
It's so good. And it's, you know.
Plus, I'm insecure. So it's both. it goes both. I get nervous when anyone says like something too good about like you're saving lives. I go, all right. I got to ratchet it down there a little bit because I was like,
it's too much.
Yeah, there's a hole in my heart. But by God, obviously. Yeah. But I was always in the back. Like, where were we in what comedy is to me is we were in the airport. We were in the sitting in the seat, first class. But and there was a woman that was walking through listening to music on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Like, and you just go, oh, what? Dude, this is wild. And I'm looking around for another someone to be like, and I look at this guy across from me and he's like, and I go, that was it.
That was it.
That was it. So now we've dealt with this because we're in agreement. Am I crazy or is this a thing that people are doing now that's acceptable? And I go, and the person next to me was either listening. I go, I was literally like,
just somebody
who can like, and that's what the world is.
Yeah.
And you go, this is, you're reading the news or you're looking, going outside and you go, what? Mm. And you're looking around and I go, man, I'm like I do it professionally now, but I was like, that is
yeah, that's
it. It's that.
Yeah.
It's that going, this is, whether it's parenting or politics or the culture or music, whatever it is going. Mm. And then that guy goes, and I go, ah. Oh. I mean, I felt so good.
Yeah.
It felt so good. And I didn't even care she was doing it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, ah, oh, that's what it is. And you're just looking around going, miracle made, ladies and gentlemen. We interrupt this riveting conversation to talk to you about Miracle Made. That's who is sponsoring this here podcast. Whether you want to get more fit, be a better parent, or get more done at work, there's one thing that will help, and that's better sleep. Mm. That's got to be on your top of your list for 2024.
Yes.
Miracle Made. Tap into the self-cooling temperature regulation that has been shown to improve sleep quality by over 20%. Did you know traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? Can lead to acne, allergies, stuffy nose. We left all of that in 2023.
Yes.
Left it all. Maria Kondo'd it all.
Nice.
And oh yeah. Do you know who that is, Andrew?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. self-cleaning.
Talk about people who had a meteoric rise and then fell off.
Is her name Maria Kondo?
I think it was Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
Had a book. They're just like, if it doesn't
Netflix
serve
show.
You, leave it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That was 2020. That was 2019.
It was pre-COVID.
Yeah, it was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Self-cooling properties of better sleep. Self-cleaning. Also, the sheets are infused with silver that prevents 97%. That 99 point, everybody get that 97% joke. That's between us. It's not for them. Luxurious comfort, quality, better for your skin. All of it, baby. Try miracle.com/net positive to try Miracle Made sheets today. This is the perfect way to get someone you love the gift of better and more luxurious. Luxurious, you know, thinking about sleep being luxurious.
It is a good word for it, though. When you get it, you know
luxurious,
it.
Luxurious, baby. Save over 40% and use the promo code NETPOSITIVE at checkout. Save even more and get 3 free towels. They're going to throw that in. 30-day money-back guarantee. If you aren't satisfied, get a full refund. Upgrade yo sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/NETPOSITIVE and use the code NETPOSITIVE. Claim your three-piece towel set and save over 40%. Again, try miracle.com/net positive or hit the link in the episode description below. This week's episode brought to you by Manscaped. The all-star lineup Manscaped is back with us. We got Christmas copy, but what's the next holiday? Valentine's Day
probably. Yeah.
Oh, let me switch it up.
Yeah, see,
ladies. Nah, it's not gonna go good. Yeah.
good start.
Yeah. For Valentine's Day, listen, get yourself Manscaped up. They've been here with us for a long time. I know they're probably looking under the tree and you're like, man, all I wanted this year was to be Manscaped.
Oh, like if you did, yeah, you didn't get it. It was on the list.
Well, you got gift cards.
Yeah.
Trade those in. Get yourself. You know what is the best gift? Always will be cash.
Yeah.
Gift cards are, they're not like cash.
Yeah.
I should get a stack of ones.
You know what I want though? I don't want paper money though. Venmo me. Zelle me. Dude, I don't want cash. You carry paper money around?
Yeah, I do.
I never carry paper money.
Yeah, because I always need to tip.
I go Venmo.
Oh, yeah.
I'll Venmo valets.
And Venmo like a waiter and stuff.
Yeah.
I Venmo like a golf caddy and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the small gift under your package. What? Okay, wow. I just jumped right into that. Santa's number one helper, the Lawnmower 5.0. Manscaped can guarantee that you'll be stuffed. All right. Yeah. Okay. Really? 0 for 3. Basically, what we're trying to say is 20% off and free shipping.
Yes.
And that's always been the deal.
Yes.
With manscaped.com with the code NETPOSITIVE. They got it all. Top to bottom, the performance package 5.0, the weed whacker 2.0, the weave and the ears and nose hair trimmer, mm-hmm. the boxer to it. They got it all. And the shears, the nail shears too.
Yeah, those are the new ones.
Yeah, you're going to get decked out top to bottom
yeah.
with the Manscaped package. And it comes in a nice delivery setup for ladies, for your man, for Valentine's. Do women get men gifts for Valentine's Day? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. But this is kind of like a gift that like it works for both of you as well. Because he's going to look better. He's going to feel better about himself.
And your resolution. Every dude's resolution is going to be like, I got to take better care of my body.
Yeah, I would hope so.
This goes in there.
Yeah, let's make this the year.
Gym membership.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to stop that about January 15th.
Right.
The hair is going to keep growing.
Right.
That's wild. 20% off for free shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. .com/net positive or hit the link in the episode description below.
Do you find that like, because you do it professionally, that it's harder, like if you're hanging with a bunch of people and it's like people, you know, are you like, man, I'm feeling it and I'm going to run this table because like people are laughing, or are you like, man, this wears me out?
I mean, sometimes me and my girlfriend, if I was like, yo, she's like, you were like being hilarious tonight. I go, I was.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like we went to like her friends, like, birthday party or whatever, and I didn't know anybody, and I was just, but a comic just kind of hangs back,
yeah.
Just like lobs. He doesn't try to be like the attention guy,
yeah.
Like everybody's like, the guy at the bar, this guy, our buddy at the bar, was hilarious. He was like, I was like, that's not a comedian,
yeah.
He hangs in the shadows,
yeah,
and just lobs out grenades, yeah. And just like, dude, this is wild, dude. I think I said something to like the. We went to like the governor's
oh, yeah,
mansion yeah. party yeah, for yeah, some yeah. holiday thing. And I was like, hey, I can't be here. Like I, by nature of who I am.
Yeah, what I do.
I cannot, yeah, I'm yeah. against this.
Yeah.
I cannot be here. And the waiter's like, it was something about, I didn't know anybody, but I was like, dude, but I have a benefit if they know me.
Yeah.
So if they know me, then you can start firing off. Cause then you're like, oh, it's I'm a comedian. I'm allowed to do this. Yeah. I said something about the. So where do you guys hide like the bodies or something way out of pocket? And they were like, ah! They were like dying, dude. I was like, because it's like so scary to like throw one out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's so scary to throw one out. Ernest says it's like going on a date, and then like they're like, all right, and giving your card, and you don't know if it has enough money on it. Your debit card.
Oh nice. My gosh.
And you're like, you bought the whole meal. And you're just like, and they come back and you're like, where do I sign? You're like, oh yeah. But it's like risky to like, dude,
one of the first dates I took my wife on, true story. We went to the spot in Jackson, Mississippi where she lived.
Leggies.
And it was actually Leggies too.
Look up if there's a Leggies, a strip club for real. Yeah,
buckle up for that Google search. Yeah.
I'm on a watch list now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
How do you spell it though first? How do you spell it?
If it's somebody's real last name.
L-E-G-G-Y?
Would go I-E-S.
I-E-S?
Yeah, it's because it's probably like Donnie Leggy owns it.
Oh, it's not. Oh yeah, it's not plural, legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how was that day last night? She was getting a little leggy.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah. It's like Donnie it's a Leggies. Dude's last name and it just happens to be.
He can't find it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's looking, he's head bad spelling. He's head bad spelling.
I'm nervous looking at Leggies. The screen. Okay. But we literally got there and I mean this is early days. And I realized because I was like, what restaurant should I like? And somehow that came up. And we go, it was Char, which is that one here.
Oh yeah.
And dude, I mean, they brought the menu out. And I mean, this is like third or fourth date. And I was like, I can't afford this. And I looked at her and had to go like, hey, the apps look pretty good. And she totally read the room and was like,
oh, yeah,
let's just get some like
crab legs. Just apps. I would say apps look good.
And shared them and we called it.
Nice.
And I was like, in that moment, I was like, this is it, man. That's she's the know. One.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's all good. But we tell that story now. And I told it this week. She's like, please tell them about when you took me to Char and you couldn't afford it.
Char is crazy. I mean, I did that at prom. Nice. I didn't have enough money.
Oh, bro, that's like every man needs to feel that feeling of like, oh, this is what lack feels like. And what the
end of it. Way to not be relatable. He's like, 20 years ago, I felt lack once. Yeah. He's like,
wow. Once. And then never again.
He's like, bro,
then.
I'm like you. I grew up a preacher's kid. We had zero money.
Oh, no, we had no money, dude. Well, I think the guy does what, like, I was watching I'm an idiot. I was like, where were we the other day? Where there was, the Titans game. And there was like a flyover. And I was like, I'm on list. You're like, dude, no, no. That's like, I'm gonna, I'm like, do I have what it takes?
Yeah.
Like, if I am going to the military,
yeah, let's
like,
do it.
No, dude,
it ain't happening.
No,
no,
absolutely. No. But you do want it, whether it's like with a pursuit, like with a woman or a career or like a guy, a man, this is getting into like wild at heart territory, which I'm not for. You know, but it's like a guy does want to know, like, if he has what it takes.
You know,
and a lot of
yeah. For me, like the first brush of, I'll never forget, I was probably like late middle school, maybe ninth grade.
Yeah.
And we went on this church retreat.
Oh, yeah.
And we went with this group from Clarksdale, Mississippi, which Delta girls are like really beautiful. Like,
oh, girls from the Delta.
From the Delta, Mississippi. It's like they're just really beautiful girls.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll never forget, they were doing like.
Probably in hindsight, not, but at the time.
Oh, yeah. At the time. Yeah. It was like, yeah. All you guys could work at Leggy's. And
we had a church and we had another church and we were like, these girls.
Oh,
we didn't
church.
Know anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, binoculars.
Not just watching
across
size.
The river.
This is incredible.
They're all cheerleaders at the other school, you know. But like, I'll never forget, we did a talent night and I wasn't going to do anything. And somebody was like, hey, Dave, we need somebody to host this like skit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was all right, I'll do it. And I got up and I'll never forget doing like a couple out and just all improv and looking out and all those pretty girls were laughing. And I was like, what is this feeling?
Chasing that high the rest of your life.
Bro, I mean, but it really was my first brush with like, oh, this maybe is how things could change. Like,
oh, for real? No.
You know what I mean? Like,
I get all that.
It was, I mean, my dad and I still laugh back. I remember I came home, I was like, Dad, I think I want to be like on stage. And he was like, wow. And yeah. I told him, he's like, oh yeah, well, that's why you want to be on stage.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were looking at you, you're like, oh, this is different.
All of a sudden they were like, hey. Yeah. I remember like after, like, hey, that was funny. I was like, oh my gosh, you touched my shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Game over, dude. Game over.
Yeah, that little,
oh yeah.
That little first brush where you're like, you take the risk and it pays off.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
That's why I've been listening to Switchfoot ever since, dude.
24. What a song, bro.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like we talk about all the time in here is like, oh, that's where you like, everybody's got to like,
yeah,
get
it. Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
And I know people that are like, they get it by having their house decorated nice.
Yeah.
And cooking. And everybody goes, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Thank you so much. Some people, I get mine doing stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And by default, I don't get it. I don't care to get it by like my car.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's everybody. Yeah. So my girlfriend was looking at this girl's profile on Instagram. My Facebook got hacked like a couple weeks ago. And I go, if Instagram for whatever closed shop, this girl will kill herself.
Oh man.
You know, you see, I go, this is your
thing.
This is where you get it. But yeah. I get it somewhere.
Yeah.
And everybody gets it somewhere. Mm-hmm. We had when I was in rehab in 2019, there was a guy that like we all lived in an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So Friday nights, this guy would cook. And he would every Friday night. I mean, this guy was a chef.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, I mean, Wednesday, all right, we're going over to, I don't know what his name is. We're going over to Jeff's house, whatever. He's going to cook for us. All right, dude, we got the ribeyes, the tenderloins, the mashed potatoes. He's like, everybody's sharing. So I can't wait. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it was like, dude, dinner was incredible. And he was in rehab, right?
Yeah,
and they said the therapist, go, no more cooking. When we're cooking.
Wow.
Meaning.
He's getting his fix.
That's where you get it from.
Wow.
So what would it be like if all these people, your brothers that are in rehab with you, you don't want to do anything.
Mm.
You don't have to perform for them to earn their love. What if they just liked you?
Jeez.
Oh, it's like kind of like, I feel like I'm like a pastor. Like, you know, what's really important here? And switch the whole, like, this is a comedy podcast.
No, it's good.
But it's like. Oh, that's where that's why he's in rehab.
Yeah.
Not that, but.
Do you still feel that way about shows?
I mean, I think I'm honest about what I'm doing there. I mean, it's a mutual benefit. You pay 50 bucks and it's a win-win for both of us.
But like,
I'm not lying to anyone.
Yeah,
about,
yeah, for sure.
I'm for profit.
But you still feel that way, even all these years in it.
Yeah, less because I've lost it all.
Yeah.
And then if so, it's like, if it did all go way up.
Yeah, what
it,
happens?
It will be. I'll be fine. Now, before I didn't feel like that.
Hmm.
That's why I was so scared of like quote cancellation because I was like they're gonna take
The thing, the drip.
We were in when I went to rehab, it was like there was like no women out there, no alcohol. I go, I don't care about none of that. Mm. And I didn't really have this awareness that I have now about these topics. And we were like 4 weeks in, and there was no contact with the outside world and no nothing. And there's like every other week, maybe it's family week, mm. where two or three or four of the people have their families come out and they work wow. through the rehabilitation yeah, process yeah, together. Yeah. And dude, I was just kind of like bummed and depressed and whatever. And this one guy, I'll never forget this. His wife came out and she goes, hey, I know it's like against the rules, but I just want to say I love your comedy. And I was like, I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here.
That first hit you've had in months.
Oh gosh, dude. I'll go, oh, I'm back. I mean, I was high.
You were out there like making a barn with wood.
Oh, dude.
Like I was, long yeah, beard.
Nothing, dude. And I thought everything
hello,
was.
Hello, fellow woman.
Oh, yeah. It's Amish now somehow. I don't know how that happened, but.
Well, that's what I
said. Yeah, but then I realized, oh, that's what.
That's the thing.
That's what my thing was never any of
that. Like, what is the one thing? I had a friend of mine ask me this in college, and I still think about it all the time. But like, what is the one thing if they took it away, you really think you'd have a hard time surviving?
I mean, if my bank account went to zero,
I mean, like,
no, that's for real. If my bank account went to zero, I'd be like, I mean, outside of like your loved ones, obviously, yeah, yeah. but you're like. The weird thing about having it all and losing it all and having it back again is that you hold it. You know,
yeah, very I don't definitely. Know. But I it wouldn't care. Be like shows or like your career.
No, dude. No, I mean, you could find a way to somehow do it. I mean, yeah. if you had like, we can't do live shows like COVID. You couldn't do live. All right, we'll do a show at a drive-in. We have a,
yeah, yeah.
Or you can just do it with your buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's, I think Judah Smith was talking about this. He goes, I used to be a youth pastor and I was preaching for 10 kids in the youth group. And now he's preaching for the Kardashians and Justin Bieber and all that. And he's like, arguably, it was better back then.
Yeah.
It's still the same. Me looking at the guy in the airport and the airplane going.
It's still there.
You can do that anyway. You can do that in jail.
Yeah.
Not that I hope I wouldn't be there. But yeah.
That's an interesting jump from planes to jail.
I look at the girl's Instagram feed and I go, it's just, you look a little over leveraged here.
You got it all riding on one thing.
You got all your eggs in this basket.
I feel for like that world because I'm like, your body's just going to do what your body's going to do. Like I had that thought the other night. I was like, man, all those people, guys and girls that are like doing the fitness thing or whatever. Oh, yeah. I'm like, that's got to be tough when like it just, you know, when you're, it's like.
Can't do it anymore.
You just yeah. can't do it anymore.
And then maybe the win is not like I got a buddy who's like, I talked about this before. His wife's like scared to death that he's going to get fired from his job.
Mm.
Like, oh my gosh, you're gonna get fired. Like, what if he gets fired? What if it's not showing up? The staff meetings, his work, is that, and I go, and they have two kids and a mortgage. And I go, the perspective I have now in life, I go, I wish you would get fired.
Hmm.
So you could realize this is not.
It's not the thing.
It's not scary. I mean, it is. It takes away the fear of it. You go, I don't know. Maybe you got to go work at Home Depot for 6 months and you maybe move back in with your parents. But
yeah.
But imagine living with this whole. Living their whole life scared of things. It's like that's all anxiety is. It's just not having not having the tools to face whatever's going to come to you.
Yeah,
and they make fun of me for this, but I was like, I looked the devil in the eye.
Mm.
I looked him in the eye.
Mm.
I don't. What?
Yeah.
What can somebody say about me on Twitter that would? But prior to, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified, dude. What's so scary about everybody wants to be a stand-up comic? No one ever does. Everybody comes to me all the time. Dude, I don't want to be a comic. Dude, I want to be a comic. I go to the East Room Tuesday, 8 p.m. and go sign up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one person go. One guy went. Why? It's terrifying.
Yeah.
What? Now I sound like one of those motivational speaker guys.
Yeah. But it's true. I do think we're a lot more resilient than we think we are.
Oh, yeah.
We sell ourselves.
You lose your arm, and then the next morning you go, I guess I don't have an arm. And then I guess I just figure out life this way.
Yeah.
You couldn't imagine it. Yeah. I've been watching this World War II documentary. I'm in pretty deep. And
bro, it's.
I want to enlist.
I do wonder, I wonder if, like, the messages then, because you think about our grandparents, man, they were just made of, like, Teflon.
Oh,
and
dude.
I'm like, is that a human nature thing, or was there something about the world then that really, you know, because you were having to do all this stuff that just like sucked.
Horrible. Just no strength or resilience.
And have
or,
we just
from anybody
so much did. Like? Is our mind game just so much weaker these days?
Yeah,
don't have to do that stuff.
I think a lot of that is there wasn't much to compare to either.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You know,
that's
like fair. We yeah, now yeah. see how like the quote other half lives
right.
and you see,
right.
you know, 19-year-olds making $1 billion and it's like, right. dang, I feel really bad about my life now. They yeah. didn't have anything to see. So they just yeah. thought, this is what everybody's doing.
Yeah, yeah. nobody, there's nobody is like posting. I mean, this is like a societal, but nobody's posting. If you work at Walgreens, you're not posting that on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. But the thing is, it's not embarrassing.
Right.
It should be proud of it. Yeah. You can make a living for your family.
Right.
But you see, there's some kind of like, unfortunately, hierarchy. Like whenever you get into an Uber, unfortunately, based on everything in the culture, the guy has to explain to you why he's Ubering.
Yeah.
Dude, you have an automobile and you can chauffeur people around the town and make a living for your family. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You don't need to say anything. Yeah. You don't need to see anything to this douchebag that's going to Broadway to get
yeah, yeah.
2-for-1 vodka soda. You don't. Who cares?
Yeah.
But you feel the need to be like, I own a bunch of real estate on the West Coast. I'm just
yeah.
out here because, or I go, well, finance wise, this can't be good ROI. Or yeah, you don't need to just say
this doesn't add up.
Everyone that Ubers is it, except for people that have come to this country and are grateful to
yeah,
ask
yeah.
to have. An explanation of why they Uber, because they have an idea that the rest of us think that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
You should just be like, I mean, my daughter's in college. I'm just doing this to stay in communication with people. All right, dude, mm-hmm. join a chat room. There's a
yeah,
million
yeah.
different ways to, it's not true.
Yeah.
But you see that a lot in the music world? Because I feel like everybody here, especially like early on in their careers, is doing 2 or 3 jobs.
Yeah.
Do you see like how to, I don't know, what are your so thoughts on how people handle
man,
that, I guess?
This is like, I have a whole TED talk in my brain about this, but sort of concise version of it is, I think one of the things that like I really have a beef with in this town is exactly what you're saying, John, is like we attach so much shame in the music industry with people who can't just do music or people that have to bow out early. And I see my friends really take these burdens on because they're like, they hit 40, they start having a family and kids. And like, it's never been harder to make money in the music industry than now. Like mm-hmm. legitimately, that sounds like an old fart thing to say, but it's true. It's just really hard to make money in it. And so, you know, if like your wife's like, or her husband, whatever, is like, hey, I kind of need you around.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, like, because touring is such a good way to make money. And all of a sudden, you know, they start doing real estate or they start a podcast, whatever they do. You can feel it yeah. when you talk to them. Mm-hmm. It's exactly
it's
like the Uber driver.
Dang, that makes me
You'll
so,
bump into them at yeah. Frothy Monkey and be like, hey, how's life? Like, good, man. How's music?
Meaning,
man.
How's the thing that
and
I know
go,
you for?
They'll mm-hmm. go, well, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this thing. But like, I'm working yes. on a record. And I just want to go, bro, it's
fine.
It's totally okay.
Gosh, dude, that almost makes me cry, man. Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
It's fine, dude. It's fine.
It's totally
You're
fine.
Like, hey, like.
It's admirable.
Dude, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
do both the things. Grind on both things. Like, if you got to do that, you got to do that.
What man. I'm going to tell you, I mean, the music industry Gosh, is dude. Just... Again, this is where it's like the NFL. It is not meant to sustain a mm-hmm. career past about 10 years, 12
is
years.
That four? Yeah.
And so the people that can do it, it's like, you know, I got a million side hustles
yeah.
because for me just to do my artistry, it's tough.
Yeah.
And I can. I'm thankful for that. But I'm like, it's just hard. So I think it's a great question. I think... I would just love us. One of the great things that the NFL has in those professional leagues, especially the NFL, is they have the NFLPA. And so when you join the NFL, one of the first conversations you have
you're
is
in.
They sit you down and they go, hey, man, you're going to be gold if you get 5 years in this
Gosh,
league. 10, you're going to be like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So we need to talk right now about a couple things. One, you need to have some plans.
You get one contract. If you get a second contract.
You get a second contract. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
But like one, you need to have
Gosh,
another plan.
Man.
Two, you need to think about your mental health because there's going to be a day where your body can still do it, but they don't want you to do it anymore.
NCT.
And it's all you've known, right?
NCT. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and you're not going to remember even doing it.
You won't remember this conversation. So it's important you lock
like,
in now.
Yeah, yeah. Your life's going to feel like a Christmas carol where you're like, who are you? Where are we going? But I feel like, you know, that's it.
Yeah,
I want
yeah.
that for Nashville, for the music 100%. Community, because I'm like,
you're
somebody
in.
Needs to sit down, to your point, John,
yeah.
like
all
somebody
right,
needs to sit down with these kids and go like, hey, you were great. You're popping off on Instagram at 19. That's awesome. And
yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like 3 years from now, you may not be able to sell out, you know, a 100-person room.
Yeah.
And you know.
So, and the perception from everybody is that you are a failure.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
I tell all the comics, I go, dude, if you wake up and you tell jokes that you thought of in your brain,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have another job,
yeah,
you hit the lottery.
It's amazing.
Dude, you hit the lottery. I don't care if you do it for one,
yeah.
for 2 years, for 10 years. If you can do it, and we're looking like the career that if there's any kind of, I wish I was, that's crazy, dude. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. You're like,
you go even further with that. If you make any money doing your passion.
Ever, yeah, that's right.
That's a great point.
Like, that's
in
amazing.
Terms of the world.
Yeah.
If you ever made a dollar doing your art, it's like, dude, like if you go to whatever country, it's like, dude, my dad pushed this fruit truck. So I pushed this fruit truck. There's I don't feel cold. Stop. Yeah. Or whatever the terrible people that they're, it's just not real. I'm just, God's not really, stop it, dude.
But
has this conversation.
Well, if you bump into a guy, let's say that played in the NFL for 5 years.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at that dude and being like, man, sorry about that. They're like, dude, what? And he's like, yeah, I played for the Browns and the Steelers for 2 years. They're like, dap it up. It's like, dude, that's, what was that like? You know what I mean?
An unbelievable point.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean?
But who outside of George Strait.
Yeah.
Then by default, under that other line of thinking, everyone here's a failure.
Yeah.
Everyone in this town is a failure at the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Outside of
like those
Garth, Taylor. Kenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Five people.
Yeah.
That can like, that stopped touring on their own by choice.
Yeah.
They go, all right, we got plenty of money. We don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Four people.
Yeah, I know.
Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah.
Maybe. Then you go, everybody else is like, I'm trying to just think of a name. I don't want to throw anybody's name, but somebody that was big in the Dina Carter or something like that. That's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Dude. It really is. I don't know her. I'm just using her. Like, unfortunately, she has to go around this town and have that BS conversation. Oh, we're working on.
What happened?
Where are
you then?
And you always have to, you're always on like, being on in court or every time that woman or any artist has a conversation with anyone in this town, you have to do the whole thing that like you were talking about, the whole fake exchange.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like the is it the Kevin Hart bit when he's like, the way my bank account's set up? It's kind of like that. It's the same type of explanation where you're like, yeah, so stuff right now is just kind of like, it's moving around, so I'm working on blah, blah, blah. It's like the same kind of justifying.
Yeah, but nobody's like, but then you see like, I guess you see somebody does the post, I got my real estate license post, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
It's just hardwired into us. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's
so hard. But dude, if you can do that and feed your family, also win.
I think too, it's something about a dream deferred. It's that thing that's like, you did that thing you really wanted to do and now it doesn't happen anymore.
But nobody can do their dream.
And that's the thing. That's exactly like what? Right.
Yeah.
I just feel. Like I'm like, man, I would just love the narrative in this town to change to where it's not that anymore.
Let's start it. How are we going to start it?
Right now. Let's start it. .com. Leggies.
No. All right. So, if I go, hey, well, let's just start it. I'll probably in my own life, I would just start it by not doing the thing.
Yeah.
When not doing the, by, hey, what's a, because someday I'm not going to be touring anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm working on this video or this new whatever, dude. What's up, dude?
Yeah.
Dave, my name's John.
What you doing? Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, dude?
Yeah.
And then you start there.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't imagine having a one hit. I would move.
Yeah. But a lot of people do, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a common thing.
Here, I guess we're focused on here because it's Nashville and country music, but everybody deals with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you tried to... whatever.
Yeah.
And it's everybody.
Well, see, man, think about this. This is what's tricky. Gosh. Like, even think about those bands who still can do it. But, you know, they're like, they're not, they're playing the hits and they're playing corporate events and maybe like, you know, they're touring every couple of years, whatever. Like, there is something innate to standing on stage. This is where I envy comics, where stand on stage as an artist, even at its best, the crowd is crazy. They're standing. Oh, you're playing. I think everybody, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I do think this is something, even if it's 5% of your brain at that moment, you're like, they're not cheering for me right now. They're cheering for me 20 years ago. They're not cheering for current Dave Barnes.
I've never had that thought, but you
wouldn't think that? Because that is present. Wow. Like that joke you're telling right now is real time, John Chris. Right. It's not. Yeah. Where for me, I'm like,
and anything I've done in the past, they actually don't.
They don't want to do. Yeah. And so the thing that's weird about being an artist is like you may be playing and it feels great because you're like, that is still me, but that's not me right now. Like what I want to play for you right now is something off my new thing, and everybody's like,
and you play the three chords of the old thing. Oh, and go nuts. And that you, would artists be resentful?
There's a weird existence.
Are they resentful of that?
They
are.
Like artists, are they?
Yeah.
Some are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people.
Oh, yeah. I guess you go through like, to just play the thing that we like you for.
That's like you go see Counting Crows are just deconstructing the set into oblivion because it's like, I'm sure Adam's like, I'm tired of playing Miss Jones.
And he has money.
And he's like,
but he also wants the,
yeah, he wants to
be
hit.
He wants to be on the festival lineup. So he wants to be out there. And they're like, you have to play.
But name an artist. I'm not kidding. You will not be able to name an artist that is touring and has ever toured that's past like 40 years old that is playing a lot of new material. It does not happen.
I never thought about that.
They'll have two new songs in the set. Now, Taylor's kind of an anomaly that way. Yeah. But like any other artist, like you're not going to see Stevie Wonder because you heard the
Taylor
new stuff.
Is 30.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor in 20 years.
Yeah. I was going to say she's put out so much more music, I feel like, or like in such a short time span versus how artists used to release
Taylor's,
music.
Taylor's a genius too, because
I like how we're referring to her first name basis.
T-Swizz. Yeah. The Swizzle. But you know, she's also co-writing with people that are young and hip. So she's able to like keep that flame lit in some ways because she's so smart and she knows like, you know, like, keeping it relevant in some ways is working with people that are relevant. And so you can kind of keep it. And that's where country is great too, because you know, those older artists can get younger writers and all of a sudden it's a voice, you know, but it's a sound, it's repackaged in a way that feels young and current.
Great point.
So you know, there's
no, little, I guess I said to somebody, I go, dude, Dangerous. Like this Morgan Wallen album, this is our parents, Garth Brooks, like, we'll be singing these songs
for sure.
The rest of my sand in my boots, I'll be singing that song like Unanswered Prayers or like, Friends in Low Places. Yeah. It's so good, and it's just a matter of where how you see it. Did it become resentful of that work? Yeah. I always thought what's a bummer about the NFL or being an athlete, or really anybody in a lot of ways, that have done something so remarkable that you live the rest of your life thinking that your best days were behind you.
Oh, yeah.
I think about Isaiah Thomas, not the OG Isaiah Thomas, Thomas who was with the Celtics.
Yeah.
When he had his streak there where they were comparing him on ESPN to LeBron James over and over and over again in the news cycle because the numbers in that stint added up.
Gosh.
And then it was like okay, Jeremy Lin can't. Like you can't sustain this and then sure enough fell off and then went back to being the seventh man
and it's like, how do you anymore.
Like he still played years after that, you not being praised like that, how do you do that?
Are you pissed
right
and live the rest of your life, or do you go like that, there's no other way to do it really, like my pre-cancellation, that guy existed, we can acknowledge him, he put out a lot of great art, that is, we have to move on.
Yeah.
We versus remember what, I mean, we know that guy too.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, dude, still like, dude, like find the guitar and play. Like, dude, it's like the guy that played basketball or like played football in high school, didn't play, but it was like, dude, I could have played D1. Yeah. And you're just like, dude, he's on the flag football team and he's hasn't seen his kids. He hasn't hugged his kids in 3 weeks. But I took that. Did I take that too far? I might have taken that too far.
Coach put me in fourth quarter. We would have won state for sure.
Yeah. That guy. There you go. Dude, so you remember when, I mean, what's that name of that band that the guy told me, we were out somewhere and he told me like a hit from, had to have been the 90s. He's like, I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, it was, Is it, that's an awesome accomplishment, but yeah. It's a bummer. It's what's sad is that you think that this transaction is going to be based on that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And that I'm not going to like you if you don't have that card. And if you do have that card, it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's just like a diminishing returns over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, I think with Instagram and all, it's getting infinitely and exponentially worse because of that. Because you really are known for a thing now. It's like your account, if it has the check, well, what's it got the check for? Because you're funny, or you're really pretty, or you're a great singer, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that is currency, and it's hard. It's so hard for me now because I feel like I dabble in both. I'm old enough where I'm like, one, I'm terrified that it's all over and nobody cares anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of me is like,
everybody
still,
has that.
You know, still feeling like, hey, got to kind of show you what's going on and how you
like
know.
That's
what I do.
The funny thing about how this podcast came together, because you're like, hey dude, I don't really play this game.
Oh man,
but I gotta play this game for a second.
Yeah, I got we're this buddies new album and yeah, like, hey, yeah. Just, yeah
you gotta like, kind of like do unfortunately or fortunately do it in front of people. You need eyeballs on the stuff to like be to be like, oh, that guy's still
he's still I mean,
no, like there's comics that we like want to open for us. I go to his Instagram and see if he's still like doing shows.
Yeah.
Like see if he's still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to call him to be like, hey, can you come fill in Greensboro?
Yeah.
If he's not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I ran into somebody like, gosh, this week somewhere and they recognized me like, man, I used to love your stuff.
dude, I'm going to jump out of a plane.
Yeah. I'm like. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Like, you still doing music? I'm like, yeah, I'm actually just put out a new record. Like, good for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Catch
well, then we probably shouldn't at the same time, if we're going to take ourselves out of that, I guess it's your own. We shouldn't be resentful of those, but they didn't mean it that way.
Oh, no. Some of the hardest work I've had to do is just realize, like, thank you for listening then. That's great. And two, man, I mean, you know, my wife had to kind of admonish me the other night because I was like, you know, so bummed and was like, and she's like, Dave, I'm like your demo. I'm like, you know, 41 girl, right? Like I am your demo. I'm like the middle of your demo. She's like, I think, and she used to love music.
Why have I had this exact conversation?
Oh man.
Go ahead.
And she's like, you know how much I love music. Like when we met, that was something I was really drawn to in her. Yeah. She had this, her case logic.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was like, game oh, look over, at you with dude. Some deep cuts in here, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, Dave, I don't listen to music at all. And if I do, it's what the kids want to listen to. She's like, some of my favorite artists, I have no clue what they're doing now. And I listen to them constantly in my 20s.
Yeah.
She's like, so you can't be mad that people's lives just like, there's not as much room for music anymore. Like you just don't. And if it is, and here, watch me do this.
Yeah.
It's the stuff you used to love. So you want to feel a thing. So if I'm driving around, I'm like, oh, I got like 10 minutes. You know what I'm listening to, man? It's like Dave Matthews Crash or something that makes me feel away. I'm not using that 10 minutes to be like, what's some new music I could check out? Or have my old artist brought
no, you already
some
got
new
it.
Music?
Yeah. That's
great. And so I think I have to be fair too, that it's like, I can't be bummed because people's lives get busy and you know, they're not going to be like, man, I was driving to my accounting job this morning and I thought, I'm going to check out what Dave's up to. That's not what they're doing.
You would be like, dude, that's concerning.
Yeah, bro. Like you should put some old stuff. Feel good again.
Well, the feel good again. The only thing worse, what if you were like still trying to like, there's like comics. We talked about this before where like you're in college, you're doing bits that are like that college girls in college love. Right. And now that's what made you.
Yeah.
And so, but now all of those people in college are in the carpool line now.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still doing the college. That's bits. Worse.
Bro.
That's the only thing worse versus like whatever agreement that you'd have to or.
Well, y'all know this, man. And that's
I know this
so
person.
Full of this,
dude.
Oh, but you watch the 45-year-old music guy trying to do his TikTok thing. Oh yeah. And it's just, and God bless everybody like who does that, right? Yeah, and especially the ones that it works. But like, I mean, I had to have a hard conversation with management a couple of years ago. They're like, hey man, this TikTok thing is like popping off. And I was like, look, God bless all those people. Yeah. I can't, I just feel so dirty.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, and to do the dance and I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
And you know, some people do it really well, but that's my version of that is I feel like.
But it's a phony.
Oh, yeah.
When you go, I'll still go into those waters every now and then about like, like introverts at a mega church be like? Like I did that time is past. Yeah. Or if I was still, I like my sense of humor has, I'm not that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still like, I see younger creators like do, and I go, you guys can take it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have it.
Run with it.
Yeah, y'all, I don't know who the new Christian bands, the young Christian bands are.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to.
Yeah.
And we all have all those inside jokes about all that
stuff. Dude, that poster you made, I still love that. Oh, gosh, that was so good.
That was the peak, dude.
That was unbelievable.
What's it called? Christian?
It was like, it had the three
Look
days.
Up Christ Cella, like Coast Cella.
It was like the three
But it's
paragraphs.
Christ Cella.
Oh, my gosh. That might have been so hard.
I want to see if I can look at images. There's not been that way. That yeah, there it is, right there. There it is.
Dude, this thing killed me.
Okay, all right. What year was this?
Where you started breaking down, like not the band, but what they did. Or
all
like,
right, I don't know what year this has
Stephen
to be.
Stephen Gerrard Chapman's son's secular band. I mean, I was crying.
Phil Wickham's faux hawk.
I can't handle. All right, this.
Jeremy Camp's biceps.
Pat Barrett playing only Chris Tomlin songs.
Dude, Corey Asbury explaining his theology next to Lauren Daigle's American Idol audition. I just was like, this is so well thought out.
David Crowder duo featuring Ben Rector set. Ben Rector set.
I can't.
I like that the entire top line is Hillsong bands. Hillsong United. Hillsong Worship. Hillsong Young and Free. So, Hillsong Tea Choir.
You just had your finger so on the pulse of this thing.
Youth group Katy Perry.
Beth Moore in the distance. Are you kidding me?
No one knows. Barlow woman in their 30s is crazy.
Switchman secular set. I mean, I was crying at this.
That's just the first day, dude.
Oh, bro. This ended me.
Justin Bieber carried in by Carl Lentz and Judah Smith.
I can't handle it. You know the other thing? I've told you this. The other thing that you told me with,
friends,
and I will reference this. Done.
That might be.
Dude, you know what number two is, though? When you went in Home Depot and did the different type of woods and you know what church you're in.
Oh, yeah.
John,
that's so
I had
niche,
to pause
dude.
It because I
that's
was laughing.
So niche.
I was crying laughing.
I mean, I was on Winter Jam, so that was 2018 where I made that bit on
bro,
the road.
That thing ended me.
I was like, this wood
I mean,
is better
ended
for...
me. Ended me.
Gosh, dude.
Bro, how long did you work on this? This is incredible.
Dude. I mean... We, the cute duck dynasty girl.
Oh my God.
True Love Waits, hosted by the Jonas Brothers, crossed out the Jonas Brothers, Tim Tebow.
I mean, bro, it's just so. Because
he was like a, yeah.
So good.
Minority pastor lecturing white people on diversity.
Bethel Worship doing a one song, 50 minute set. I mean, are you kidding me? The girl on the internet who takes secular songs and makes them Christian. I mean, dude, I just like, I feel like I stood up and applauded when I read this. I was like, this is just.
Child care provided by Westboro Baptist. That's
Judah
crazy.
In the line, but wearing shirts the whole time. I mean,
dude, it's so like niche. Gracious. But if you're like Jerry Falwell Jr., firearm training is crazy.
Free love does Rob Bell. I mean, are you kidding me?
I don't even know, dude, I don't know what any of those people are doing. Actually, a couple of them from around
Dave,
town.
You're on this.
I know.
Where is he?
That's just why.
Dave Barnes Snapchat stories.
Somebody tagged me on it, and I was like, this is the greatest moment of
my career. I mean, those are all like, it's just so Lecrae the Muted on Twitter tour. Oh, yeah, because I got in trouble for like being racist about that. Because he was like saying a bunch of stuff, and we were like, all white people were like, no.
This
but the
was,
joke,
and you just have Scott Stapp as just Scott Stapp.
He was like trying to be Christian.
Coming dude, as I he is. Saw, yeah. You know, he's Nashville now.
Yeah, Scott Stapp. He's been on the podcast.
I saw him. Like, I kind of freaked. Like he was walking. He was going to his kid was playing flag football, and mine was at the same time. And he walked by, and I had this like, holy crap, that was Scott Stapp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It definitely
like, is a moment.
He's got a sick beard now too,
bro. He's like. Awesome. I love that they're sort of like resurging a little bit. It feels like hires like everywhere again.
Well, that's look at that you go.
Yeah.
Hey, he would be a guy that walked around town for the last 10 years to be like, your best days are behind you. Mm-hmm. And not like what I think is beautiful about art. And we'll close on this. But as the band comes out. It's like when COVID happened, I mean. There was like shows in like parking lots or like we were just so like compelled to do it that I was never in it to make money or like to be like I think a lot of the people coming up, I was going to say kids, they're not kids, are in it to be famous.
Yeah.
That's not a result. That's not an end result. Because I talk about all the time, I go, what if the algorithm went in your direction and everybody was here? Mm. Everybody was on you. What? Mm. What do you have to say? Yeah. What do you have to, what, like, that's the, being famous is not the end result. We were so compelled to make the art that we didn't, they were like, well, yeah, it can only be in cars and people honk their horns when they think a joke is funny. We were like, all right.
Yeah.
We didn't really, they were like, you're not getting paid. I was like, I don't know, but I have these thoughts about what's going on and I want to tell them to everybody. And that was it. And that's always been it. And granted, there's more people, or but it, that complicates things anyway. There's more agents and more all of that kind of stuff. But you're like, I would imagine, I don't know her, but Taylor Swift, we talked about this before, that she just liked to play music.
Yeah.
She liked to play music. And then it was like, hey, do it for the this group. And they're like, dude, this is a bigger group. And it's a bit, but it all started from the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, if you're Scott Stapp or whoever, you're like, oh, I never really liked it. I was just trying to get to a place.
Well, and that's what's so cool.
There's no place to get.
Yeah.
There's no place to get.
And you know, Taylor's such a genius too, because she still writes so much of this stuff on her own, which to me is like, that's the proof in the pudding is like, sure, she writes stuff with Max Martin and it's great, but like she writes whole records by herself where she's like,
she likes to do it.
I love to do this.
Because there's, because any, every other, goal has been removed.
Yeah.
Of like, I got to make money. Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I got to sell out. No, you don't. I got to do a platinum record. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You did all the things.
Yeah.
There's no, just LeBron James just likes to play.
Yeah.
Cause when you, once you get onto this other side of like, oh, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah. You know,
I like to do it.
Two things I'll say quickly. One, did you see Dustin Nickerson's set that he did during lockdown, where it was that, bro, it is
when the one is recorded,
yes,
out where in LA,
where it was like mostly a black comedy night, and he got up.
We came on stage,
bro. It is one of the funniest.
You tell me, I'll tell him that.
Well, we had him on Dadville, and I was like, please tell me that night. And he was like, you talking about following the flow? He's like, that one joke worked, and it was like, oh. And now we shift.
Oh, yeah. He's coming out in a flannel.
Oh, dude. So, one, you know.
You just like to do it.
You just like to do it. Like, he showed up because he was like,
I didn't really have another choice.
Right.
We didn't really have another choice.
But I think to your point, like, you know, as I talk to younger people that want to do music, that especially now more than ever, I'm like, look, if you got to do it, that's when you do it. Like, if you gotta,
you have to. Yeah, that's you have to.
Then go do it. Who cares what happens? Yeah. Like, you got to do it. But if you're at all like, I'm like, don't do it.
Then don't even start. Don't even start.
Because then you'll make it through. If it's in you and it's got to get out, you'll figure it out.
Uh-huh.
It'll work out. But I think if you got anything else you can do, do something else.
Well, we tell everybody, I go, if you want to be a doctor, you go pre-med, then you go take the whatever test. You go to med school, you go to residency, you get this is how you do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you be a country singer? How do you be a comedian?
Yeah.
Where do you start?
Yeah.
If it's in you, you will find the path. We sound like Lord of the Rings or something like that. I was going to say Sauron, but he was the bad guy. Who's the good guy? Gandalf. You will find the way.
Yeah.
And that you go, I started just going to the open mic.
Yeah.
I just was attending it. Every Tuesday, I would just go to it and watch it. And I was kind of taking notes, and then I was there's no sign up.
Yeah.
There's no website.
Yeah.
There's no form. You just kind of have to, there was a guy that was kind of hosting it. And I kind of was like, what's up? And then he's like, what? I was like, I wanted to do it. Can I do it? And then you're like, we'll move to LA. And you're like, you got to do what? Where are the? Who do I talk? You'll figure it out. If it's in you,
you'll figure it out. Yeah.
And if it's not, you'll figure that. That'll become clear too.
Yep.
And then we're not going to make fun of them to their face, but behind their backs, people that are unsuccessful, we'll make fun of them.
My gosh.
Now we want to. Well, tell us about what you're doing now. That's the reason you came on this podcast.
Yeah.
You got an album.
Yeah. So I got a new album, which I'm excited about.
Oh yeah, and you're touring with her boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buckler.
Yep. Yeah. Smoke show.
Oh yeah.
With Beth doing
Laird,
that
with Beth Laird.
Yeah. BL.
Yeah.
The Lairds.
Yeah. That's his, manager.
Creative Nation. So doing that, playing a bunch of shows this year. I went to management and I was like, look, I can't do like these 3 weeks in a row, or even like, so it was great because I was like, this feels appropriate for a 45-year-old. We're just like, here are all the dates.
Yeah.
We're putting them out.
Yeah.
We're doing them over the whole year.
Oh yeah.
So like, come if you can.
The whole year planned out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, I can't, you know, man, I just can't be gone for long chunks of time. So, that should be fun. And then,
you come to Nashville?
Yeah. We're doing the Ryman.
Oh, you are?
Nice. Yeah.
Let's go.
July 10th. I think.
Oh yeah, baby. All right. So listen, at least your ego is secured between now and then. Because you can say, we're doing the Ryman.
Yeah, 500 people show up.
Though, it doesn't matter. We're doing the Ryman.
We're
doing the Ryman.
You're here to see a man cry on stage.
Doing the Ryman. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, dude? Oh, anywhere around town. Got a new album out, tour, doing the Ryman.
Doing the Ryman.
Yeah, you're set. What are you complaining about, dude?
Well, you're still doing music.
Yeah, you're doing the Ryman, bro. You're doing the Ryman. Dave Barnes, good to see you, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.